WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Bob Dole knows what it's like to be the butt of political jokes, and he also has a reputation for being very funny, even if that's not the side he showed during his last presidential campaign when he was defeated by Bill Clinton. Dole left the Senate during that presidential campaign. He'd served as majority and minority leader of the Senate during both Democratic and Republican administrations. Yesterday, we spoke with Bob Dole about the Starr Report. Today, we talk about Bob Dole's new book, Great Political Wit, Laughing Almost All the Way to the White House. Do you have a favorite joke circulating now about President Clinton's predicament, or are you afraid that that would force you to work blue?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I haven't tried to make any. You never play politics of people's misery, and whether it's personal or hurricane or tornado or whatever, some conflict. I think you sort of have to back off now. Leno and Letterman and all these other people are out. They get paid for this. They can be as irreverent as they want. But I haven't tried to. I've talked about Monica. But in fact, in the book, I have a. You know, we live at Watergate South. We're in 112. She's in 114. I think I've got a little joke in there that I walk by, but always walk by real fast. I don't want to be subpoenaed. So, but that's about the extent of it. But I live in a famous neighborhood. Monica Lewinsky next door. Charlie Tree used to live down the hall. Things of that kind, but nothing that ever would connect Clinton and Lewinsky in some, you know, some off-color situation.
Now, you've been a guest on Letterman and Leno. Before you started guesting on their shows, what was it like to be the butt of the jokes when you were running for office?
Well, I never got to see hear them, but people would repeat them the next day. So, I think one of Leno's what I've been using Grecian formula so long I got it from the original Grecian or whatever. All this stuff. It's kind of funny. I mean, you got to be able to laugh at yourself. One thing I've learned over the years, and I think I've always had a reputation, my colleagues, you know, sort of being funny in the sense that you could, a sense of humor could kind of save the occasion or lighten the occasion. But you learn early that you don't make fun of people in your jokes. I used to tell a story about having a head injury in the war and then going into politics. But I had a letter from, I think, a group, I can't remember the exact name, but represented people with head injuries. And, of course, they were offended by this. This was 25 years ago, and I stopped using it. It never occurred to me that even though I thought it was funny, and the audience always laughed because it was sort of poking at myself, you know, people with head injuries didn't think it was very funny, and it was very insensitive of me to even do it. So I think you've got to be prepared to, you got to aim a lot at yourself, and you got to keep it pretty high level.
Now, there were Viagra jokes that were made.
Yeah, I think there may be one or two in there. Yeah, Leno had some Viagra jokes, I think, and because I said in a very honest way, I thought, because I'd been very outspoken on prostate cancer. I had the operation in 1991, and I know a lot of men don't talk about it, don't want to hear about it, but they should because they have a family or a business or whatever they owe it to their family. So we've sort of been trying to speak out on that, and to me this seemed to be something that was also... You know, men don't talk about impotence. There's millions and millions of men out there who need help. And I just sat on Larry King one night, made a statement that I thought I have certain credibility in that area as far as prostate cancer. It might be helpful to men. So, but some people picked it up and made jokes about it and even asked my wife about it and things of that kind.
Dan Aykroyd used to do impressions of you on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, he was good. Yeah, Saturday Night Live. He was great.
You liked his impression?
Yeah. I remember in 88 when they had the Bush-Dole debate or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember who played George Bush, but Aykroyd was, I thought it was pretty funny.
Now, I'm wondering if you ever saw a really good impression of you and noticed something that the impressionist was picking up on that you didn't realize you did. And you had to, go to a friend or a loved one and say, do I really do that?
Well, I've watched Norm Macdonald a few times. In fact, I was on Norm Macdonald on Saturday Night Live, and he came out with the same suit, the same tie, everything. We looked like twins, only he was much younger. And I always carry something in my right hand, so people won't grab my right hand and break it off. And he had a pencil in his right hand. He was all, so we had a great time. That was after the election, too. But And Aykroyd, I can't remember. I've watched him. In fact, I've told people he's going to have to lose a little weight if he's going to be Bob Dole, but he's going on to greater things. Yeah, I think you can sort of learn. I mean, you know, some people, I made a Visa commercial after the election. I had a lot of mail from people saying, Bob, if you'd have done that before the election, I'd have voted for you. I mean, people never see this side that they see maybe a side or somebody's told them a side or they see the negative ads. And I think most people, you know, like to think that you can go out and laugh at yourself and get other people to laugh. At the same time, you're a very serious person. So that message didn't get through in 96, but that's history. That's over. I'm doing other things now.
Do you think that most politicians have joke writers who write jokes for their speeches?
I think most now would. If they were going to give a major speech, let's say the gridiron dinner, which happens every year, as you know, in Washington,
mm-hmm.
and they pick one Republican and one Democrat, and they're supposed to get up and, you know, just knock the socks off the audience for about 8 minutes. Well, that's, most people would reach out for help. I mean, I remember I did that early on with Ted Kennedy, and he murdered me. I mean, my fellow never came through, and Ted had great stuff, and I was devastated.
What do you mean your fellow never came through?
Well, the guy I had helping me, I mean, he kept saying, oh, I want to do it. Yeah, I don't, it's got to be topical. Wait till the day of the event. I said, my God, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. Anyway, our jokes weren't good. That's the point. And they weren't funny, and people didn't laugh. And you can imagine standing up there with all these, quote, people from across America, sort of the opinion makers and the editors and everybody else, and you're standing up there, and nobody's laughing. I mean, you feel like you've died and it forgot to bury you or something. And it takes forever to get off that podium. And since I followed Ted Kennedy, this is way back in 1980-something, but I've been on two or three times since and sort of recouped, but I've had to confess Ted wiped me out that night.
Did you have anybody working with you on delivery?
No, I just sort of learned the hard way. In fact, I started way back when I worked in a drugstore in high school in Russell, Kansas. And my dad was pretty good at these little quips and sort of wisecracks. And I remember when I first ran for Congress, my chairman said, now we don't need any more Jack Benny's in Congress because I had a reputation. You know, trying to have a little fun, get people to laugh. And a lot of the time you're trying to get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
You go in to speak to 500 people at, say, 8 o'clock in the morning, the last thing they want to hear is some dull speech. And you got to wake them up. I mean, you know, they're still sleeping. And you got to sort of keep them there for a while. And then you can make the points you want to make in your speech and get out of there. But I think it, you know, Eisenhower, I mean, everybody, Churchill, I mean, I think one of my favorite stories of the book is where Lady Astor said to Churchill, if you were my husband, I would poison your coffee. And he said, if I were your husband, I would drink it. You know, so...
Right.
And Adlai Stevenson, you talk about a man with a wit, ran against Eisenhower. And Morris Udall, who ran for president as a Democrat years ago, was in the House, and they got a great... And, of course, Kennedy and Reagan, now, I don't know if they had writers, but they were good. They have good on delivery, President Kennedy, President Reagan. They probably were... You know, the best that I've known around.
I'm wondering, you know, you resigned from the Senate during the presidential campaign, and then you lost and you were out of the Senate. Are you sorry that you resigned? Do you wish you were still in the Senate?
Well, you kind of, you know, like anybody else when they leave their work, whether it's a labor union or some CEO or a lawyer, doctor, professional man or woman, whatever, teacher. You kind of think, you know, gee, how are they going to do it without me? And you kind of miss it. And I watch C-SPAN a lot, and I listen a lot. But I would say at this point, I thought about, should I do this? I thought I was making a powerful statement that I was willing to give up something, because I know there's a lot of cynicism in the country. And a lot of people think, well, Bob Dole, you know, he's going to run for president. He wants to keep the majority leader, and he wants to be in the Senate. But I want to make a statement that I was willing to risk something and devote my full time to running for the president. And if I lost, I lost. Not just the presidency, but my Senate seat and the longest-serving Republican majority leader's office. So So I don't regret it. I mean, I knew at the time, you know, it was going to be uphill to win, but I also knew that it might convince some people that I was really serious about what I was doing.
You were so used to winning elections. What did it feel like to lose, and to lose the big one?
Well, it didn't feel good, but it was a great experience, and we carried 19 states. We thought we were going to carry 23 or 24. We knew we had a real uphill climb, but you know, you look back and you try to analyze it. And was it my fault? Was it somebody else's fault? Was it negative ads? Whatever it was. But having had the experience was certainly something that I never expected, coming from a little town in Kansas. But we didn't get there. That was a disappointment. And we worked very hard and didn't make it. But you can't rehash it the rest of your life. You've either got to move on, and still things I can do. Right now, I'm chairing the World War II Commission. We're trying to raise $100 million. We've raised about $35 to $40 million. We don't have a World War II memorial in Washington, D.C. President Clinton dedicated the site in 1995. We've worked out some controversy about the design, and I think that's the unfinished business of World War II, so I'm spending a lot of time doing that. We do a lot of public service announcements on prostate cancer and things of that kind, and plus my work in Bosnia on missing persons. So I've kept very busy, and I'm in the Bernard Lippert Law Firm with some of my friends, like Senator Mitchell and Senator Benson, people I worked with in the Senate. So I'm about as busy as I was. I just don't vote anymore.
You vote in the elections, just don't vote in the Senate.
I vote
in the elections, right?
I still vote in the elections.
Okay. Bob Dole, is there a good example of political wit from your book that you would like to leave us with?
Well, Jim, there are a lot of good examples. You know, one is, if you need a friend in Washington, get a dog. That was Truman.
That's good advice.
That's the way to end it, because the president's got him a dog, and I saw the dog Friday. Buddy's getting big. That's a big dog. I got little schnauzers, but Buddy can eat you out of house and home. So maybe that's a good way to leave it. If you really need a friend, and we all do in Washington from time to time, get a dog.
Is that why you have a dog with you on the cover of your book?
Yeah, my dog, yeah. In fact, he's here today, but poor little thing is getting pretty old. He's about 16, had trouble walking, and he's lost a lot of weight. But he's also the September dog on the Purina dog calendar, so he's having a big month.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
Okie doke. Good luck.
Bob Dole has a new book called Great Political Wit.